Roundabout with Tony Barnfield on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Hello there.
Oh, hello, I'm Julian and this is my friend Sam. Bone at about your dolly old eke again.
Oh, thank you. But it's not like you two to be shy. Well, don't be strange.
Well, it's Jewel, Mr. Orne. He's worried about his social bloomers.
The elastic gun?
Oh, holy boat!
It's a little bit funny, this feeling inside.
Mr. Humphreys, are you free?
I'm free.
Thrilling to meet you, Gloria.
Hi.
Yes. You obviously have a wonderful economy with words, Gloria. I look forward to your next syllable with great eagerness.
I'll see you again whenever spring breaks through again.
Ladies and gentlemen, recently I had the pleasure... quite recently, and actually it was last Thursday, if you must know.
The look of love is in your eyes, a look your smile can't disguise.
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide, no escape from reality.
Hello there.
On your radio again comes the strains of Cuddly Ken.
Anyway, it's all done in the best possible taste.
George Michael ending that collage of clips, all with some connection or other to our programme today. It's a world that has undergone an extraordinary transformation over my 70-year-long lifetime. In my childhood, in the 1950s, people such as Alan Turing, Lord Montagu of Bewley, and John Gielgud were imprisoned by the judiciary after being caught basically for being homosexual, bisexual, what we have now come to term LGBTQ. Today's world, certainly in the UK, condones where once disgust and fear were commonplace on the different sides of a distinct divide. When the gay playwright and actor Ivor Novello staged the musical Gay's the Word in London's West End in 1950, little was he to know that the word gay that he identified with light-hearted and carefree was within a lifetime to be adopted by a section of society accepted by most in the 21st century. Here in this rather traditional university town, that acceptance takes a proud step forward on Saturday the 8th of June when the first ever Cambridge Pride takes place on Jesus Green. This week's roundabout is devoted to some of the gay anthems and icons of today and the recent past. Many not exclusively gay, so I hope you'll find the hour ahead interesting, informative and entertaining. I'll be meeting four of the organisers of Cambridge Pride, who I hope will be talking frankly about their own lives, as well as what's in store next weekend. We've heard snippets from the worlds of drama, comedy, literature and music. Right now, one of those anthems from Gloria Gaynor.
But then I spent so many nights thinking how you did me wrong, and I grew strong, and I learned how to get along. And so you're back from outer space. I just walked in to find you here with that sad look upon your face. I should have changed that stupid lock. I should have made you leave your key. If I'd have known for just 1 second you'd be back to bother me. Oh, now go, walk out the door. Just you're not welcome anymore. Weren't you the one who tried to hurt me with goodbye?
Cambridge 105 Radio.
And with me now is Paul Hyde-Clark. Paul, you're sort of the man in charge of publicising this.
I am indeed. I know, I can tell you almost anything you need to know about Cambridge Pride, the first ever Cambridge Pride.
Because there have been events before.
Yes. So the reason that it's combined with the Pink Festival, which is a local charity, is that the Pink Festival has been going for some time now. And we actually organised quite a few events, festivals in Cambridge going back to 2003. There were six Pink Festivals in Cambridge at Cherry Hinton Hall. And those were sort of predecessors, I guess, to having something that we would actually call a Pride event in Cambridge. It wasn't called a Pride event. We wanted it to be much more a kind of summer festival vibe, very family friendly. It was still very much an LGBT celebratory event, but it was very mixed, very laid back. Actually, an amazing event with 10,000 people coming to an event like that. But I think back then, going back 10 or 15 years, maybe the idea of holding a Pride event, something that would actually label or brand a Pride event in Cambridge, just didn't quite feel right to the people who we were back then organising it, because, you know, Pride back then was maybe seen as a much more sort of commercial idea, and also something that had expectations of a parade through the city centre and all of those kinds of things that people come to expect of the big Pride events, you know, London, Brighton, Birmingham, Manchester. And obviously what we were doing as the Pink Festival was something very different from all of that. So we didn't call it a Pride event. But a year ago, the whole idea of Cambridge Pride came about through conversations with various people, the Pink Festival and a group that were trying to organise or really wanted to organise the Cambridge Pride. We grouped together, and that's something we've been working on for the last year.
And you're not having a parade, because that's what my mind immediately associates with.
Absolutely. We actually are having a parade, but it's going to be a very different type of parade. We think we're the only LGBT pride event that's ever had a parade on the water. So ours is a river parade on punts. We thought, let's make this as Cambridge as it can possibly be. How can we really celebrate Cambridge as part of the event, make it feel like this belongs to Cambridge? So yeah, we have a flotilla of punts that will be going between Quayside and Jesus Green, brightly decorated in the colours of the rainbow flag, and that's how the event will start on Saturday.
That's at 11:30, is that right?
Yes, so I think somewhere between 11 and 12 those punts will be back and forth for people to come and view on either side of the river at Jesus Green, or obviously you'll be able to see it as the punts turn around at Quayside to go back up to Jesus Green again. So wherever you want to try and view it from, there'll be a lot happening on the river for an hour that morning.
That certainly sounds fun. Is that the main idea of to make it entertaining?
Oh, absolutely. What we put on as an event to get people together, to get people to celebrate who they are, being themselves, they belong to the community that they belong, and can be open in the community in Cambridge and Cambridgeshire with no labels, no judgment. And I think that's what putting the event on is all about. But then there's the outcomes of the event and the sort of legacy that the event hopefully leaves behind after that single day. So the entertainment is you know, what the draw. That's what we have to do to get people together to celebrate. And then hopefully, as a result of that, people will come away from the event feeling like they belong to the community and that the community accepts them.
So integration more than anything else, perhaps.
Yeah, inclusion and celebrating the fact that we're all different. Everybody's different and yet the same. We're all human and we all deserve to be respected for who we are. And I think, you know, things luckily, and I'm glad to say that I live in an age now where I think things have improved vastly from even 20 or 30 years ago. When I look back to my coming out story as a gay man, I look back and I can just about remember how terrifying it was to go through the process of being very alone and not feeling like I could tell somebody who I really was and the feelings that I had, and feeling like I might be isolated, persecuted for that. And even going, you know, this is all, this is in the 90s, and then, you know, going into out into work after finishing university, and even though I'd come out to my friends, going through that same process again, where I was meeting new people in an environment where I wanted to be accepted, but felt like I had something to hide. So I know that we've come a long way, but I don't think those fears and those societal challenges have gone away by any means. The event really is trying to break down barriers, really, and make the world a more accepting place.
Because at the beginning of the programme, I played little extracts of people like Frankie Howard and John Gielgud, and famous case, of course, with the Cambridge link, Alan Turing, who it led really to his end.
Yes. I mean, that's an incredible, powerful story in itself, isn't it? And as I say, clearly things have improved for the LGBT community, but it's... yeah, we've still got a way to go. I think, you know, just looking at news stories still regularly in the news around what's taught in schools, for example, quite recently. So there's still a way to go. And that's why, but some people say, why do we need a Pride event? We're getting comments on social media, even right now, saying we don't need this rammed down our throats. Just, you know, one of the comments that I read just this week. And that's not what the event's about. There are people that find talking about this difficult or unnerving, or people concerned about what it means when people talk about LGBT issues and equality. So this isn't about ramming down people's throats. It's really just about helping the community at large, the wider community, everybody in Cambridgeshire, see that just because you're a gay man or gay woman or trans or bisexual, it doesn't actually define any other part of your life. It doesn't dictate the music that you might like or your hobbies. And I think that's where stereotypes come in. And that's still kind of one of the challenges that we probably have. And the idea of the Pink Festival is really trying to create a huge, diverse range of entertainment that will suit all tastes, that isn't about playing up to the stereotypes of what gay people like as music. So, yes, there'll be gay anthems because there's something that everyone can associate with and connect people. But as a gay man myself, I have a huge range of musical tastes, from classical through to pop. Being gay doesn't define what music I like.
Well, I'm going to ask you to choose a record. You were mentioning earlier on the thought of what children are taught in school and so on. It's very, very current. You've got a youth tent here, an enchanted cinema. I like the idea of that. A well-being area and a children's area. So you are really appealing to everyone.
Yeah, everyone of all ages. No judgment, no barriers to the event. It's accessible to everybody, because who you fall in love with, the relationships that you choose to have, don't really dictate any other aspect of your life. So although it's a celebration of LGBT life in Cambridgeshire, it's also a celebration of just being alive, being human. There's music, there's spoken word, there's all kinds of different entertainment. There's sports and dancing and well-being and cinema. Yeah, it's a celebration of everything, really.
And all free to attend as well.
Exactly.
I have to apologise in advance. I'm going to be playing a few of those gay anthems during the programme, from Judy Garland to Diana Ross. But
that's absolutely fine by me.
What would you like us to play?
Well, I'm going to break the rules that I've just set myself and go with a Kylie Minogue track, New York City.
Paul Hyde-Clark, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Tony.